In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our text for this evening is our epistle reading from St. Paul, which I've already read. Please be seated. Dr. Luther's explanation of the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer teaches us that we need to know about thanksgiving. It teaches us everything, in fact, that we need to know about thanksgiving in itself. When we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we are saying this: God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. When we ask God for daily bread, it does not come as news or a surprise to him that you are hungry and need dinner. If he feeds the birds of the heavens, who neither sow nor reap, will he not also feed you? With this petition, God is reminding us that our daily bread comes from him, that we would not forget him. While this may seem rather odd to us, the scriptures are actually full of instances where God gave daily bread to those who actually forgot him. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, just before God brought the Israelites into the promised land, he reminded them to keep his word before their eyes by speaking of it when they go to bed, when they wake up, and as they went on their way throughout the day. They were to teach the word diligently to their children, to bind it to their hands, and to put it in front of their eyes at all times, to write it on the doorposts and even on their gates. After this, God said, take care, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. In our Old Testament reading for this evening, we hear a similar account. God tells the people of Israel to bring an offering of the first fruits of the ground that are produced to the place where God chose to have his name dwell, that the people would receive that with thanksgiving. The history of God's people after that, however, is a rather sad cycle of the people forgetting the Lord, his word, and that it was God himself who had given them everything that they had. As a result, the Israelites turned to foreign gods for worship and praise. In their search for earthly comforts and wealth, they turned to dead idols who could not hear them, who could not speak to them, and who could not give them anything. This is all context for what we heard from St. Paul in our epistle reading this evening. God is the one who gives daily bread, down to the seed for the sower and bread for our food. We cannot produce these things in and of ourselves. Only God can do this. His word, which brought into being all that we see around us, is still echoing throughout creation that we might have all that we need to support this body and life. But God does not give us our daily bread for the sole purpose for our own daily needs, nor does he intend us to tear down our barns to build bigger ones that we might store up and relax with our ample goods. Instead, God gives our daily bread in abundance, that we might share it with those who do not have enough. The fifth commandment teaches us we should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. In his hymn on the Ten Commandments, Luther writes about this about the seventh commandment, saying this: "You shall not steal or take away what others work for night and day, but open wide a generous hand and help the poor in the land. Have mercy, Lord." Thus, we are to remember that God does not give us our possessions for us to simply accumulate. He gives them to us that we might use them for our benefit and for the benefit of our neighbor. This is why Christians were the first ones to start hospitals and orphanages in the ancient world. When the Romans were abandoning the sick the disabled, and children that they just did not want to deal with, the Christians were there to take care of them. It is not an accident that so many hospitals today bear the name of saints or Christian denominations. And this is why a huge part of what the church does is works of mercy for those affected by disasters in various places. You wouldn't believe the number of emails I get from the LCMS about this hurricane or that earthquake over there, because the church is engaged in the work of helping those who cannot help themselves. It is through this work that God provides not only for our daily needs, but also for our neighbors' daily needs through our hands. As St. Paul says in our text, "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." This means that those who benefit from the generosity of Christians will give thanks to God for the mercy that they've been shown through the people of Jesus Christ, through us, through his Christians. But one of the greatest ways that we might be of service to our neighbor is through the support of the preaching of the gospel, both at home and around the world. It is through such preaching that God provides for the eternal needs of all men. Through the offerings we bring, which God has freely given to us out of his great love, we are making a bold confession of the gospel of Jesus Christ to save sinners, that all who hear it may believe and be baptized and thus be saved. Dear friends in Christ, our Lord could have completely cut us out of this deal by bringing the saving message of the gospel to whoever he wanted in whatever way that he chose. He is God after all. He could have done it in such a way as not to involve us or any of the things that he gives to us. But God, in his infinite wisdom and mercy towards sinners, has chosen to send preachers to bring that saving message to the world, as he has done from the time of the prophets and the apostles. And in our own day, he continues that saving word to be proclaimed among all nations, supported by the gifts that we bring to him. And so, as St. Paul quotes from the 112th Psalm in our text for this evening, "He has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." God freely gives all that we have, and most especially, he gives us his Son, who is himself our righteousness. Yes, dear friends in Christ, the riches of the everlasting righteousness of Jesus Christ, which he won for us by the shedding of his blood upon the cross, is yours in the waters of holy baptism. His righteousness, which covers all your sins, will not fade or wear out like the riches of this world, and cannot be taken from us by thieves or destroyed by rust or moth or anything else. For it is this righteousness, this eternal treasure, that is yours forever through your Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.